I see two hands for now. Honorable Abram. I'll give you numbers like 1, 2, 3. We'll follow each other. I only see three hands for now. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Sibuletso.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. And let me welcome the remarks by the minister. And one wants just to check if this particular
recording in progress
bill, can we get it in different indigenous languages, or it's only done in English? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lesuma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. May I switch off my video for connectivity purposes, please, Chair, if I may?
Yes, madam.
And good morning, Honorable Chair, and honorable colleagues, and honorable members, and honorable minister. It's quite encouraging that the minister himself is joining Women's Caucus, which we very much applaud. Having said that, Chair, although it's not necessarily, probably, let me start by welcoming and appreciating the bill. It will go a long way in terms of complementing the three bills that has been recently been assigned by President as on gender-based violence, that it will go a long way. However, which is not part of the bill, but I thought this committee must also scratch its mind on, is that the abusers, they go to the homes that we provide or auto Tuzela centers, the mothers and children in particular. But after 6 months, they are expected to go back to those same houses. I wouldn't say homes, but those houses where the abuser reside, which means that probably government must look at like how we also support the child-headed families in terms of housing. It could be a thought between this committee and also the housing committee, together with the social development, to say how best can we also ensure that we break the chain of perpetual economical and housing dependence to the abusers, as it were, whether it's the families or the boyfriends or the husband, as it were. So I thought I must raise that issue, being opportunistic, of course. Other than that, Chair, we welcome and we are looking forward for it in the NCOP engagements with the provinces in terms of their response to it. But I'm sure that there is a side, a line popularizing of the bill to ensure that communities also, they respond, even the legislatures, they respond positively in terms of in support of the bill. Thank you very much, Chair.
Very much, Honorable Lesuma, Honorable Abram. Honorable Notolo Abram.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I was struggling with my mic. And I want to apologize as well if there's some feedback from the background. It's because of where I am. Chair, my first comment really is to join the comment by Honorable Lesoma on the appreciation of the minister taking issues of gender quite seriously. And I just want to once again also appreciate the presentations that have been made. I've got two clarity seeking questions, Chair. The first one is I see that the bill speaks to already sentenced people. I just wanted to check whether as we do that, we also have a way of doing it also to those who are committing the crime as we speak and are being incarcerated. such that we don't have data only on those who are already in prison. The second one for me, Chair, is the consequence. How do we, in our attempt to ensure that we do not have repeat offenders per se, that whenever they are, there's parole or whatever reason that people should be set free even before they have done their term, that we are able, therefore, to prevent it when it comes to serious crimes like rape, murder, and sexual abuse. Fundamentally, Chair, I'm just asking a question as to, having noted and really dealt in a way with who has done it and so on, how do we ensure, I know that we cannot guarantee anything, but what is the move towards ensuring that they do not do it again? Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, for giving us this opportunity to participate in this meeting. I welcome the presentation, and I would like to ask some few questions, Chairperson. My first question is on the capacity of the forensic science laboratory. I wanted to ask if the forensic science laboratory has the capacity to process the samples, give the backlog that this laborations always have according to Police Ministry Honorable Peggy Cele in May 2021. Gauteng has the largest degree of DNA backlog and 115%. My second question, Chair, is on training for police. Will police members receive urgent training on this law in order for this law to have a positive impact in the fight against violence, crime, especially gender-based violence? And will SAPS be equipped with the necessary resource to comply with this law? The third question, Chair, is on Schedule 8 offenses. Can the SAPS give us the breakdown by informing us which offenses falls under Schedule 8 of the criminal law? I'm asking this question so that we can all understand Schedule 8 offenses. In terms of the comment, Chair, I'd like to comment on the inmates that are out with the parole. Can the department make sure that the community also must involve to those inmates that are outside with their with parole, seeing that they will be accepted to the community? Can the department do the program to all the provinces? Because I'm at the NSOP, so we would like to see this program of the inmates that are out with parole, working with the community, seeing that they will be accepted by the community. Ngiyabonga sana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Sabalala.
Ndoriwa Motsura Shuduro, thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, let me welcome the proposed bill and say indeed it's the step in the right direction. But I also want to commend the minister in so far as we would have seen this cash in transit heist is something that is not related here. However, what happened in Rosettenville, for me, it seeks to be commended because that's located within my PCO. Now, Minister, insofar as the bill is concerned, one, I would want to check the police stations. How much are we have equipped the police stations, especially the police officers? Do they also understand the bill and the intention of the bill? Because quite often as legislators, we make the laws, but I want to understand if the subs themselves are also equipped to understand the direction that we are taking insofar as these matters are concerned. But furthermore, we have an issue around the police stations as well. You know, femicide, it's something that really needs the community. The community needs to come on board. But I want to check, have we equipped the police officers as well to understand this challenges that we're having, but to also give support to those victims that will come and lay charges and so forth. We know there's been a lot of work that has been done insofar as having social workers in police stations and units that really takes care of these matters. But I want to know, is there any other strength that we've strengthened this department? But, you know, also, Minister, you know, sometimes we quite often as society think that the police are answers to everything. And police too are part of community. Do we also debrief the same police officers that take these cases? Because I think there should be an element of debriefing that they too needs to be debriefed because these cases are immense and are also very challenging and emotionally draining. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this issue. We've seen in society today that men too are also undergoing what we call depression, mental illness. We've seen now our music icon, Ricky Rick, that woke up yesterday. He has killed himself, suicide, primarily because of what we call mental illness and depression. So hence, I'm asking that we also do debriefing because men too are also undergoing lots of challenges, but we take care of our own staff. The last point is that the matter of social work, do we also involve social workers, especially when we take these perpetrators back to society? And you know, linking it with criminal justice system wherein we have what we call parolees insofar as community corrections. And that unit, I think, is very important because police do assist, but we need to have some sort of a collaboration. And I want to understand, insofar as this bill is concerned, has there been conference with correctional services, also the justice system? I want to understand the DOJ, insofar as sexual offenses, what is the attitude and how do we link such a law as well with the sexual offenses, but what has been the contribution of the Department of Justice insofar as this proposed bill is concerned? Lastly, Minister, are you going to do imbizos? Because I think it's important as part of a comment that part of your imbizos as well, and including us in our own PCOs, we need to conduct imbizos and involve society insofar as this legislation are concerned. So we just don't only wait for NCOP processes, but it's quite important that we need to start the debate and the discussion. But I think in your imbizos that you do regularly, this is one matter that should also find that type of an expression and find a national focus in SoFi society and be able to dominate the discourse. So we don't see only in our media, the only dominance, it's only when there is bad thing, there is crime, but we don't see such progressive legislation receiving so much attention from media and other stakeholders within society. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tshabalala. Honorable Sharif.
Thank you very much, Chair. There seems to be something happening with my video, but let me try again. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Chair. Let me start by, speaking to some of the comments that the minister spoke of. I agree with you, Minister. We have a massive problem in this country, specifically looking at households. And I've spoken about how complacent many families indeed are when it comes to abuse and gender-based violence. We have this tradition in our country where we deal with it as a family. You don't need to report it, we deal with it as a family. And that is problematic and it's toxic. And what it does is it continues the cycle, the generational trauma of abuse that many people in this country face by just sweeping it under the carpet. Your uncle touched you when you were a child in a wrong way. You told your parents say, it's okay, we'll deal with it as a family, sweep it under the carpet. This is the cycle that is not a new phenomenon, Minister. It's been happening for generations and generations. And it's something that you're absolutely right. We must deal with it and we must look at how do we start, speaking about violence within families in a way that protects the victim and survivor and make sure that the perpetrator is sent to jail and is held accountable for the abuse that they're doing. Abuse from fathers, stepfathers, uncles, grandfathers, boyfriends is not new. It's not a new phenomenon at all. But I'm happy that we're starting to speak about it more. And I think with more open dialogue, we can start coming with solutions and speaking about it. But in the same breath, we need, Chairperson, we need to speak about the complacency of women in these situations. And is it complacent or is it the cycle of abuse? So there's a lot to unpack when we speak about the family dynamic and violence that comes within the family dynamic. I want to agree with the previous speaker, with the honorable member, we have massive issues in this country. We have men who are struggling. We have women who are struggling. In fact, we are a society that is struggling with violence, and we really need to buckle down and find solutions and new solutions to these many problems that we have. Minister Tlele, in the last meeting, when I spoke to you about doing oversights at police stations, you told me that I need to contact you directly. Please, could you leave your cell phone number in the chat? Could you give it to me so that I can contact you directly when I come up with issues, especially when women are being turned away from police stations? You said to me, instead of bringing it to portfolio, contact me directly. Please, could you share your contact details with me so I can do exactly that and speak to you directly when I come across these issues. In terms of this act, this bill, I think it's important because it serves to close a gap that I think has always been there. I want to agree with Honorable Ngwenya in terms of what happens to the inmates that are currently incarcerated that haven't given their buccal samples. Will this bill ensure that we get buccal samples from them as well? And perhaps this may lead to solving cold cases or cases that we have no leads on. And then the second question is, all of these buccal samples, where do they go to? Do they go to a register? Will this register be published for everybody to see, or will it be a private registry that only the correctional service and SAPS will have access to? How will the buccal samples, how will it work? So you take the buccal sample, where does it go to and what is the end result? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Is there any other hands? Going, gone. Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity and ask the minister and his team to respond to the question and the comment raised by honorable members. Honorable minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks to the honorable members. Chair Takalane and his team, Aboy Jacobs, will come on some specific questions about the bill itself. I'll go on three areas that will be more of a ministry and generic. Chair, the complaint about the handling of these matters at the police stations have been heard by the Ministry of the South African Police Service with the management. It is on that score, Chair, that there are special teams that are trained or are under training to be able to deal with these matters at the front desk at the police stations. We are trying to start by improving those top 30 stations in the country. I think there are about 381 stations now that have trained people. Those people must be there on a semi or on a permanent basis so that as you come, you are not told to go and come back tomorrow. As you come, we are not told that you go and negotiate at home and try to solve the matter at home. It will help that the group of people that will be working there, they will be permanent, they will understand the issues, but they also develop some empathy and sympathy. But it will be also easy if one woman is abused to trace who was on that desk in that particular time, rather than having a police station that having everybody on these matters and not taking these matters at the weight that they need to be taken on. At that score, we are having these 381 stations, but we want to put these trained people in all 1,154 stations in the Republic of South Africa. 9,000 of these people have been trained, and we are working on allocating them at the station going forward, Chairperson. The second one, I always say, and it has been proven, we're about 60 million as we speak, Chair, as a population of South Africa. Well, we hope that OSG Maluleka will come with the latest number as he's on the field as we speak. Even if, Chair, you take 30 million of us and you make us South African Police Service members, if the other 30 million cannot cooperate and be part of policing, it's not going to work. Therefore, it's something that is understood in terms of policing in the world and here in South Africa, but it's a call that is made even with the July unrest that happened, the panel of experts, they have called these things of policing being involved and embedded to be part of communities. That's a bigger one, the outreach program. Those are the programs that anyway are there and they're going to be there for a long time to make a call on the communities to work with the police, but also to improve the relationship between the police and the communities, but also the communities themselves understand the issues so that they could be on board. That is ongoing and is those program of the outreach are going to be there. Third one, Chair, and the last one from my side. Honorable Ngwenya spoke of the capacity. Chair, it's true, for some reason, the capacity of the laboratories and the forensics laboratories, especially on biology, which produces DNA, which is a cutting edge. That DNA is a cutting edge when it comes to resolving two major crimes, that is a rape and murder. For some reason, we went flat on that, but I'm glad, Chair, to announce, to say that situation has been corrected. We have begun to flow and that capacity is there. We will be increasing the capacity. It was an issue of you would not trace how it happened. For instance, we found that about 16 contracts were unsigned. There were no contracts to supply serious things like the maintenance of machines, like buying of chemicals to deal with those things, like having what is called surveillance medicals, which means the staff that works in the laboratory needs to be vaccinated and all that. Chair, the deputy minister and myself, we have really taken this as one of our main project. And I must say we are getting there, Chairperson. We had those backlogs that have been ring-fenced. At one time, there were 188,000, there are 57 now. That is last week figures, I'm sure we're down there, including the new intakes that at one time themselves, there were 210,000, we have moved to 159,000. So there is a movement. We did few things. All contracts have been signed, Chairperson. All machines have been maintained. New people have been brought, especially we were told that there were 24 of the interns that were let go by the laboratories, especially the Western Cape one. We have hunted those people down. We have found, unfortunately, I think 19 of them. Others, they've got other jobs and all that, but they are there. There is life. We have found the money for overtime there. Instead of doing the 8-hour shift, we're doing 16-hour shift. Actually, we wanted to do a 24-hour shift. We're told that machines can't take that stress. They need to rest themselves. So we're doing that. We have found money of overtime for people to be there. And those two laboratories, Cape Western Cape and the Pretoria, are well functioning. They are good. They are really doing the job. We are very confident. We have given 18 months, Chairperson, that it will deal with this backlog. We are told, as we visit this, we are visiting these laboratories, especially the Western Cape one, on fortnight with the Deputy Minister. We are told that come the August this year, we might be have done with backlog and dealing with the normal load going forward. We have a problem with the KZN laboratory in Manzimtoti. It floods almost, it has flooded 4 times. It messes up chemicals, messes up machines and all that. Unfortunately, our sister department is not helping us very much, the public works, to move from that building in Manzimtoti to go somewhere in the city center. But we are meeting with the department to say it must move. PE, the work has started to expand the laboratory. We have been there again. It's really, there is a hammer there. The work is being done. Give us 2 to 3 years, that laboratory will be full capacitated, and the life, I think, will be forever better. So this capacity is much better, but it's going to be maximized so that we never again have the problem of this backlog that we have had. Chairperson, I'll ask Takalani together with Jacobs to answer the other questions of the things like Schedule 8, what do we do in terms of those that are there, those that have passed system, and they will be able to answer those questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for your honest responses. I believe your responses is going to assist this committee to understand better this bill and also to understand the development that you're doing in your department. Thank you very much. Over to you, Takalani and Dr. Jacobs.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Minister and Honorable Members. I'm just going to reflect on the questions that related to that related to Department of Correctional Services. So I think there were three questions that related directly to Correctional Services and DOJ, Department of Justice. The first one was about what is their position with regard to the bill. Maybe what we can indicate is when we're still consulting, we had consulted with them and they were in support. And the bill also went through the JCPS cluster processes, including the development committee, which is chaired by the Department of Justice. So they are in full support of this. Then the question on whether we involve social workers when we release parolees, we are unfortunately unable to respond to this one as it relates directly to the Department of Correctional Services. Then there was also a question or request in terms of us coming with programs that deals with parolees when they're reintegrated into the community. So again, this responsibility falls within Correctional Services. But however, I can indicate that we are initiating, or we have initiated discussions with Commissioner Tobahale from Correctional Services, where we are looking at what can we do as sister departments in terms of assisting each other with regard to reintegration of parolees to community. This is taking into consideration the fact that as the department, we deal with community police forums and CSFs, which can also come handy now in terms of organizing community and reintegrating these parolees. So I think that's what I can comment on. Then I will hand over to Dr. Jacobs and Mr. Duan. Through you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jacobs.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, the issue about language. It is the practice that when a new bill is drafted and it's not an amendment bill, that we can choose whatever languages we can have it, English and isiXhosa, for example. But when it's an amendment bill, we are actually bound to remain with the languages in which the original legislation was adopted. Otherwise, it would not make sense to do it. So in this case, the bill will be in English and in Afrikaans. Chairperson, the concern had been raised about what happens to people who commit offences every day. Chairperson, there the situation is that Section 36D2 allow for the taking of buckle swabs of persons who have been arrested, who are summoned to appear in court, etc., in respect of Schedule 8 offences. Now, the SAPS was not in the position, as was explained, to implement the full extent of subsection 1. And subsection 1 provides that buckle samples of all persons who are arrested or summoned in respect of Schedule 8 offences must be taken. Now, after consultations with the South African Police Service and taking into account their capacity, they gave us the assurance that from the 31st of January, they will be able to comply with Section 36D1. So from the 31st of January, it is an obligation for the SAPS to take the DNA samples of all persons who have been arrested in respect of Schedule 8 offences. Chairperson, the issue about how ensure that we do not have repeat offenders, I also think, you know, it relates to the whole issue of rehabilitation, etc., and community involvement. But I don't think from our position in the CSPS, we could really comment on that question. The minister has replied to the issue about the capacity of the forensic science laboratory, but the same speaker requested also the issue, enlightenment on the issue of training for the police. Now, I must say training in respect of the taking of buckle samples is prescribed in the original act, and only police officials who have been trained to take buckle samples are allowed to take those buckle samples. Of course, it's extremely important that there are enough police officials trained for the purpose of taking buccal samples in the correctional services facilities, as well as a day-to-day basis of the flow of arrested persons through a community police center. Then also I must emphasize that if you look at the practical situation, there are buccal sample kits, and that kit consists of a whole package, including the exhibition bags, also instructions on the sealing, etc., because you realize that the continuity of the handling of that sample as any other exhibit must be dealt in a very specific manner. Of course, it's very important as well when we look at the resourcing that those buccal sample kits are always available and enough of them are available at all police stations. Chair, it was also requested on which offences are Schedule 8 offences. Some of them have been mentioned in the presentation that was made, but I can list all of them. Just quickly run through them that you get an idea. It is treason, sedition, public violence, murder, culpable homicide, if I can call it war crimes, rape, sexual offences, robbery, kidnapping, child stealing, assault, arson, breaking and entering of premises, theft, offences related to firearms, to explosives, to terrorism, to trafficking in persons, and also to torture. Chair, so you will see that all of these crimes, in one way or the other, DNA can play a role in the solving of the crime, as well as the proving of the crime in a criminal court. The question was asked, where does these samples go? All of them go to the laboratory, the forensic science laboratory, where they are analyzed. And what is important at the end of the day is not really the sample, but the analysis of the sample. And that analysis must be taken up in what's referred to in the Act as the National Forensic DNA Database. Now that database must be kept up by the Divisional Commissioner of Forensic Science in the South African Police Service. And of course, there are also from time to time expungements. A person is found guilty, but afterwards in appeal court, etc., the sentence or the conviction is set aside. In such cases, that DNA databases must then be aligned and it must be expunged from the databases. Chair, I can also mention that the relationship with the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice is keeping a sexual offences register or databases. And that is why it's so important that each and every person who has committed a Schedule 8 offence that and which relates to sexual offences, that those convictions be transferred and also reported with the information to that DNA database. Chair, I think I've covered most of the questions. My colleagues can come in if there are any other issues that I might have skipped. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jacobs. Milton, is there something that you need to add?
Thanks, Chair. I think Mr. Ramara and Dr. Jacobs have covered most of the questions, but there's just one question. I think it was asked by Honorable Ngwenya as to what's going to happen to the inmates who are sitting in prison who haven't had their buccal samples taken. I'll say, Honorable Ngwenya, that is actually the crux of the bill. I mean, it's what it seeks to do. I mean, those offenders who have been convicted in terms of Schedule 8, we haven't had their buccal samples taken. This bill is actually aimed at them, that they must have their buccal samples taken, that they would not be released either on completion of their sentence or on parole without their buccal samples having been taken. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
The question which has been elevated, especially after Tembisa incident, where the boyfriend shot the girlfriend in hospital, of the mental state of the members of the South African Police Service. Chair, we do have a unit that deals with wellness of the members of the South African Police. We have social workers there, we have people that are trained and all that. We are strengthening it. The problem, Chair, most of the problem, or a bigger problem, is that in the police, there is this mentality that tigers don't cry. So it looks like if you're a man and you go for these services, you look weak and all that. So that's that. But they also complain, the police, that the people that work on that environment, they go out and talk about their weaknesses and all, and then they would not laugh. So we're trying to improve, because it's a very stressful work. Yeah. I went to the crime scene 3-4 days ago. So if you see those things every day, you pick that blood every day, those things happen, and yourself, you survive death every day, you are bound to have some stresses. So we are working hard on that. We have called in the management, especially Deputy National Commissioner Mamuvuma, whom we all agree that we need to enhance and strengthen that, so that the police are assisted. The nation is stressed itself, Chairperson, as a member raised the issue of the artists. It looks like the artists themselves are really not taking it. So we do need to enhance and strengthen that unit, that element within the South African police. Because that question was asked, I thought one issue. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, is there any other hand before we release the department?
Yes, Chair Chabalala, I've raised my hand.
I thought is that the first one. Honorable Chabalala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I wanted to come back quickly for follow-up, but I'm happy Minister answered the question around the mental wellness of the police. I've written there on the CHEP group, Chair, but I want to take this opportunity and seize it, this matter that I want to raise here. One doesn't sit in the police, however, because we're here and this matter affects lots of women and children, I thought, let me raise it so that you can have an understanding and maybe be elevated at the level of minister. Basically, Minister, I have a PCO in Johannesburg. There is what we call Boys in Squatter Camp. And that squatter camp has been really erected mainly by foreign national, and it's Basotho nationals. They're doing illegal mining right at the railway that is dilapidated. So they mine underground. We have number of cases, numerous of them, women have been killed, women have been raped, daylight, and children abused. Even when they go to their school, we have issues with the school because the kids are really abused. And many a time they go to police stations, some of them are afraid to open cases, or if they do open cases, they also come back and withdraw those cases because they get really molested. Okay. So we've tried a program with the municipality, with Home Affairs. We even erected those things in the shacks, because every 6 months the shacks burn down. So we must come in and assist the woman there and the children. So unfortunately it didn't yield the results, because people in community are afraid to go there, to be seen there, because they are bosses and this Basotho nationals. So they're afraid that they will get killed as well. So really, Minister, the police are also scared to enter the squatter camp, because these nationals are really heavily armed. So the police capacity is not sufficient there, and they're not able to really assist that much besides just to stand on the corner. Therefore, I'm putting it up to the ministry to really elevate this matter at a national level, working with Home Affairs to ultimately close the squatter camp and deport these foreign nationals. professionals. This matter has been going on for years, Minister. We need a serious intervention. A rating of this nature will really assist. So I would give more information to your office if I can be contacted. So Chairperson Mama Bilangulu, please, I was just taking opportunity to raise this matter. I know this is not a PCO platform, but it really is affecting us. We have no any other way. We've tried many means. We are really failing. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chabalala. I understand. I think it's good because you may find that it's not happening only in Gauteng, even in other provinces. Maybe other honorable members will rise up and at least elevate the issues to the honorable minister. Thank you very much. I see the hand of Minister Zulu.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's always a pleasure to be in this meeting of Women's Caucus. I also wish to thank the minister and the team, but my taking the platform really is to continue to thank the department, the minister, for the work that they do. It's very difficult for the men and women in blue. And I have been everywhere I've been going, Chairperson, and it has been the issue of we need to try and give our support to the men in blue because they really are confronted with difficulties. And then you find that sometimes among themselves, there are those that go rogue and there are those that do the wrong things. But my plea at this platform is to for us to be supportive of those that are doing the good work because they're doing a lot of good work, but also to indicate that the Department of Social Development works quite well with the minister and his department. We need a coordinated and cooperative effort if we were to deal with these issues and particularly the issue of violence against women and children. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Minister. Is there any other hand?
Just thank you, Chair, thanking the Minister, taking on board what has been raised by Honorable Shabalala. Chairperson, after that shootout at Rosenenville, where 8 people were killed, yesterday there was another shootout in a mall in Gaborone in Botswana. What was interesting there were South Africans and Zimbabweans. What is interesting in Gaborone are Botswanas and South Africans, but also there were Botswana in the team. So this crime is becoming a SADC, sort of. They are crossing borders, these criminals, and working in their groups. In the South African Correctional Service, we've got about 11,500 foreign nationals. The big number are Zimbabweans, followed by Basotho. So, and they are brutal and very violent. That's why we, maybe caucus one day, we can just take you through, even with the specialized units that the police are trying to do, responding to these a specialized crime like your Zamazamas, like your car hijack, your cash heist. President has added the new one of the economic crimes like 30% taking and things like cutting our copper and all that. So we are working your POP and all that. So that if the Women Caucus and so that women themselves can have an understanding of the access they can have when they deal with the police. The main one, Chair, will be your FCS when it comes to these matters, the Family and Child Unit, which is doing really wonderful work. Chair, we've got about 6,000 people that are doing life, not long sentence, doing life only for abuse, rape, and all that, so that we sit down and they understand the whole structure of working of the police and the cluster as a whole. So we're only thankful to get this platform opportunity to be able to share those things. But if it needs be, we can come. We put more understanding on the Women's Caucus as the members of the South African Police Service. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, before we release the team, I see Honorable Maseko Jele raising her hand, but I wanted to highlight this to say, I have an assignment or the assignment for this caucus. If we're in a class, I were to say I'll be giving the homework to all women here. Minister raised something about 50% of women and children that are being abused in their own houses or their own homes. He also mentioned the issue of the SMS that he received from one lady who has been abused by her own boyfriend, but the family is not on the abused, but on the side of the perpetrator. These things is happening in our communities, in our families. As women, as leaders, as members of parliament, what is it that we are going to do in order to make sure that we give support to the subs, like it has been indicated by the Minister of Social Development, or to assist our country or our communities? I know there is this issue of culture that gets in, because some of the things they're doing is that according to our culture, we can't do this, but somebody is being abused. Somebody's life is in danger. What is it that we can do? What awareness that we'll be bringing to the communities in order to make sure that some of the things really, as families, we're not condoning it. Thank you very much. Honorable Norma Temba.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you so much for such a powerful information and also the presentation that we received from our minister. Thank you very much, Minister, and the team. Chairperson, I think my point on this issue that you have just raised, I have two issues just to raise, the other one as a proposal also on the way forward. On the issue of the families, I think when the department, in fact, which I'm going to also propose, that we need to request the DOJ to come and give us a presentation on issues of implementation of the readiness of the implementation of these acts that the president has just signed, because that's where we also get the gist of what the police, in terms of the implementation, how ready they are, and also the DOJ and other departments, Chair. And this one, the last one that you have just spoken about, I think it was one of the reasons, the questions that we raised when the department came to make a presentation on readiness. It was not clear, because it was directed mostly on SASA, Department of Minister Mamzulu, that how do we have a program that deals with these families? Because we wanted to know the types of families that these perpetrators are coming from, so that we can get information as to what is it that we can do in terms of the programs that will assist us to cap these things before they happen. Because when we were doing discussions on this act, there were problems when it comes to criminalizing non-reporting. So now, because non-reporting by the families is not criminalized, so it pushes also the Department of Mamzulu to be able at least to come with a program to see how we assist these families and also reaching for the families where we see the red flags. Because obviously we will get the data from the police as to these families that keeps on coming and report, people coming to report and some of them dropping charges and all that. So we need to have a program that is directed around those reports and that data also. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I see Honorable Sharif. Is this a new hand?
Yes, Chair, it is. Yes, it is, Chair.
Okay, you may continue.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to use this opportunity to speak about this issue, Chair. If I'm out of order, please feel free to call me to order. I think with Minister Zulu being on the platform, it might be the right platform to address this. Chairperson, you know, we seem to be having Honorable, an issue.
Honorable, can I check? Is it concerning the GBV?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Sure, it's in terms of, it's more around, you know, looking at the work of shelters and how we can ensure that, you know, we have shelters that are adequately prepared to deal with cases of GBV, but as well as looking at the family values, Chair. You know, when you have kids going into the system that don't have any parents, and when they're 18 years old, they have to leave the system because now they're considered an adult. I just wanted to find out what is the midway. How do we fill the gap between looking after kids under the state system and then when they turn 18 years old, having to leave the system and having nowhere to go? Maybe this is a conversation for another day, but I just wanted to flag what are some of the interventions that are currently in place to secure, especially young women who come from the foster care system or, you know, not having anywhere to go, leaving the system once they're 18 years old and having nowhere to go. This contributes to homelessness, it contributes to violence, it contributes to the acceleration of poverty. So, Chair, I don't expect an answer today, but maybe I'm flagging it as a discussion for the Women's Caucus to have moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sharif, but let me check with the Honorable Minister if she's comfortable in answering it right now. Honorable Minister. Honorable Minister Zulu. It's like she's having a problem. And I saw her, she dressed nicely. Maybe she might be attending something else. Thank you very much.
It's no problem, Chair, but if we can just flag it for future discussion, that would be great.
I think Mandy will take care of it. So we'll also make the Honorable Minister to know about it. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think this brings us to the end of our questions and clarity sessions. I would like to take this opportunity and thank the Honorable Minister Cele and his team for the presentation and the clarity that she gave to this caucus. Thank you very much. I think we can release you, Honorable Minister,
thank
for
you,
now.
Even in
unless there is something that you want to raise before you leave.
Well, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Mama. Even in future, we're in your service if you think police can make a positive contribution to the issues of women and women caucus. Thanks, Chair.
Long live the minister.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. While the team and the minister are leaving the platform, we need to continue with our program. Mandy, can you flag the program, please?
Yes, Chair, we'll do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mandy, can you handle the issue of a draft program?
Yes, Chair. Good morning, members. This is the draft committee program for the first term. We just did the 24th of March meeting, so we'll start on the Tuesday, the 8th of March, will be a steering committee meeting. Our next full session of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus will only be on the 31st of March. So until then, it will only be steering committee meetings, and the agenda items are on the 8th of March, it will be the adoption of minutes, then a report back on matters relating to the effect of gender responsive punishing, monitoring and evaluation emanating from the 2021 committee meeting. And then the additional agenda item relevant for today's discussion is the content advisor and research team briefing on matters relating to the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, as well as a presentation discussion on a draft action plan on the role of Women's Caucus should play in raising public awareness and the monitoring of the implementation of GBV related legislation, which are the Criminal Law Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act, the Criminal Law and Related Matters Amendment Act, and the Domestic Violence Amendment Act. On the 15th of March at 6 o'clock, again, a steering committee meeting, and then the focus would be on child pregnancies, briefing by the Department of Justice, Department of Social Development, and Department of Basic Education. On Tuesday, the 22nd of March, also at 6 o'clock, would be the briefing by the Department of Basic Education, Water Affairs and Sanitation on the provision of dignified and safe sanitation at schools. The steering committee on the 29th of March will be a preparatory session for the 31 March full session of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. And that will be the second session on the implementation of Pillar 2 of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. And then the Content and Research Support Team briefing the full caucus on matters relating to the Criminal Law Amendment Bill and the presentation on the action plan on the role of women's caucuses in public awareness raising and the monitoring of the implementation of the GBV-related laws. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members. We have seen the draft first term committee program. If there's something that honorable members feels that it needs to appear in that program, can I get a show of hands? I see four hands. I don't know whether the first three are the ones that were there before. I need to be assisted here.
No, I see Chair, the hand. You.
Hello?
Chairperson, it's new hands.
It's new hands, all of them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I see four hands. It's Honorable Minister Zulu, Honorable Lisoma, Honorable C. We'll let Honorable Masiko. Honorable Minister, you can start. Can I take the second hand? Honorable Isuma?
Honorable Chair, once more, allow me not to show my video. It's one thing, probably let me say that the program for the first quarter, for me, I think I would like us to move to adopt it, and any other matters then can be
factored in what you call in the next quarter. Having said that, Chair, I would like to request from your office and your team that we be finished with the resolutions of our August month event that we held, Parliament, Women's Parliament, and also from your office, you also follow up with the various departments so that we can do the stock taking. And because I know that last year we said that it's a year of action. I know that we haven't refenced the budgets of the departments, but also requesting the departments if they can give us an account to say how much have they managed to economically empower women specifically. I know with the youth, there is a clear direction in terms of that, but with women, and of course the president spoke to that in his sauna, but I'm not picking up from the sauna, I'm saying in the previous saunas also, to say how much dent have we done positively economical to empower women, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lesoma. Honorable Sibuletswa Khoza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is two things. One is that I second actually the program, noting that maybe it should reflect that it's a working document so that when it changes, you know, things that are happening. Today is this, then tomorrow it's something. So people must allow that at any given time, something might be changed on the program. Secondly, I just want to sponsor that on the issue of monitoring and evaluation by the strategic team, I want to say that let it be omitted by just oversight and accountability. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and the honorable members on the platform. Honorable Chair, there is within the month of March a very important calendar day event for women, which is the International Women's Day, which is going to be on the 8th of March, 2022. Even though, Chairperson, maybe the multi-party women's caucus may not be celebrated in terms of programmatically, but I think it's important for it to at least feature on the calendar or the plan for the first term, because the date is falling within, you know, the term. And also it's important for us to check whether or not there is going to be any form of program that Parliament will be doing around the International Women's Day. I think it's important, Chairperson, for it to reflect on the calendar. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. And thank you very much to all honorable members who did raise
Chair, before you summarize, Chair.
Is it Honorable Lesoma?
Yes, before you summarize. Okay. I just want to also react on what Honorable Masika have said in terms of the 8th of March to register here that it has been included in our program for this quarter as National Assembly. So there is something that is expected that the lead committee is this committee and other related committees, but I will appraise you. It omitted my mind when I was talking to you the other day, Chair, that we have included that. And there is a thing that has been endorsed by the programming committee that is chaired by the speaker, but it has been reflected already. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lesoma. Is there any other thing, or I heard Honorable Suma was moving for the adoption of this draft program, and Honorable Sibuletswe has already seconded it. The issue that has been raised by Honorable Masiko has been covered now by Honorable Lesoma, and I was going to add to say, yearly, we do have something, even if it's not coming direct from the multi-party women caucus. Sometimes the deputy chairperson of NCOP will bring in something that together with the multi-party we have we find ourselves at the end of the day having a program. But I'm happy to get the information from Honorable Lissouma. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The draft program has been adopted and seconded. Can we move any item that is following there, Mandy?
No, Chair, that was the last agenda item.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Honorable Members. I really feel that it was a very good session. Even if it just came within a short space of time, Honorable Members were committed to attend and also to interject or assist in the program in making sure that it doesn't end without getting anything as a caucus. At least we do have something that we did, and there's something that we are planning to do going forward as this caucus, believing that going forward, there's a lot that we're going to see happening, like we indicated that actions, we need to see actions, not this issue of sitting, talking about things, and at the end of the day, nothing is happening. Honorable Lissouma, I heard you saying that we need to take stock of what happened last time. I think the secretary was noting everything, so we'll get everything, we'll get that report in order to take stock of what we managed to do and all the departments managed to do, or that where they failed to do something, we'll be having it, it will be presented before this caucus in our next meeting. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Without any much ado, the meeting stand adjourned.
Long live, Madam Chepese.
I can.
Long live,
Madam Chair.
Long way.
Long way.